Hey, Abigail.
Hi, how are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Nice to meet you.
You too.
Hey, you just came out with an album a couple days ago, didn't you?
I did.
Oh, great.
Just on Friday.
Can't wait to talk about it. I saw that it actually made me laugh because you're Australian raised but Nashville based, and I'm American raised but Australian based.
Oh,
So
no way. I thought I heard a bit of an accent there.
yeah. I'm from this
Where are you from?
Pennsylvania, New York area. I live
Wow,
just on the
beautiful.
border there, so.
I was just in New Jersey two
Oh,
weekends ago.
yeah, not too far.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing. How long have you lived in Australia for?
Just over 3 years now.
Okay. Well,
So.
same. I moved to Nashville 3 years ago.
Oh, nice. So I just wanted to ask how you got started in music. Like, take us back to the beginning. How did it all start for you?
So I started as a 15-year-old kid going to youth group, and my youth leader at the time is Andy Harrison. He's the drummer for Planet Shakers, but also he was the youth pastor for years. And he was my small group leader, and he started songwriting. And naturally, I was just like, I want to give it a go. So I just started, and I did music at school. I was a percussionist. But when I started writing songs, I started teaching myself piano, and it just quickly became an obsession. And I would spend hours and hours at the piano. I would stay up till 3 a.m. working on demos of these songs, and I just loved it so much. And it eventually just progressed. I started writing songs for church. And I think the moment that I knew this is what I wanted to do with my life was when I wrote two songs out of a pretty broken season. It was a pretty hard time as an early 20-year-old. But when I saw those help people in church through their hard times, I was like, wow, isn't that so beautiful that God can use our brokenness to make something good happen for other people as well? I was in university, and I was just about to finish my undergrad. And in my head, I was going, I really want to dive full time into music. But then I felt the Lord say, no, you're actually not ready for that yet. I want you to go and do 3 years of law school, because I had a position into it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, are you serious? But he's like, yeah, I want you to do it. And even if it doesn't make sense for the next 10 years, I just want you to trust me. So in the end, I obeyed him. And I'm so glad I did, because I think it was probably the biggest test of my life. Of am I going to pursue my dreams my own way, or am I going to listen to the voice of the Lord? And because he knows better, his ways are higher, and his thoughts are higher than ours. So, anyways, he just made ways where there were no ways. And in the middle of that law degree, this door opened up to write songs in Nashville. So I just started going back and forth, and absolutely loved it, just collaborating with other songwriters. And eventually we actually moved, me and my wife Steph, we moved 2 weeks before the pandemic
Wow.
to Nashville. So obviously crazy time and totally unexpected, but we're just so grateful that we made it in that window, because we've seen him move so powerfully, and he's just been so faithful to us. And we're actually in Melbourne right now, visiting our families for the first time in 3 years. So it's so special. And all we can say is, it is never a bad decision to follow God and to say yes to when he calls you, because we've just seen that in our lives, that he'll bless every single yes that you give him. And yeah, he's just been so good to us.
I
We're
mean,
really blessed.
we just talked about this, but it sort of my story is very different but similar because I said yes to coming to Australia. And I got here the first week of January, so pretty soon before the pandemic had started. And I was just in this, I just got back from the States after seeing my family for the first time in 3 years.
No
So I'm
way.
getting back to
That's
Australia.
amazing. It's just the opposite, hey.
And
Awesome.
I think, I have been reflecting a lot on my journey, but you said something that in this process, God asked me to trust him more. And at first, when I started, I didn't even know what that looked like, right? Like, I know what trusting God meant, but I didn't know what it meant to trust him more. And one of the things he said was sometimes it just starts with obedience.
Yes.
Which is what you just said. And all that's come from your obedience is so amazing. Yeah. So,
and sometimes it can be scary. And it makes me think about, I went skydiving one time and I'm freaking out, right? We're in this plane. It looks like we're a billion miles above the earth. And they say to us, yeah, we're halfway up. So I'm like, oh my gosh, how high are we going to go? But I was strapped to this instructor and he knew what he was doing. And I had to trust that, okay, he knows how to open the parachute. He knows when to do it. He knows the timing. Yeah. It's going to be okay. And even though it's crazy, it's exhilarating. It's like, oh my gosh, this is so scary. But that's kind of what it's like with God, I feel, when you obey him. It's like, yeah. We don't always have the answers, but we know that he's a good instructor and that he'll lead us well.
Speaking of not knowing the answers, why law? Why did you decide to go to school for law specifically?
I honestly didn't decide. I just felt like God said, do it.
Okay.
So I had a position into the law school. It was at Melbourne Law School. And because of my high school, I just had like a guaranteed spot there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I actually felt like it was a few things. My parents really felt I should do it and they wanted me to steward it because it's such a good opportunity to challenge yourself and to grow. And I really did grow as a person, but also academically. And I really just wanted to make the most of that opportunity. And it really has helped songwriting in a funny way because a lot of the legal writing, when you have to write judgments, it's all of these really complex ideas, but you have to write it in such a way that makes sense for anyone. And it's the same with songs. Sometimes these things that we go through or these themes that God walks us through, they're actually pretty complex. Mm. But to be able to use language to write it in a way that makes sense is really fun. So in that sense, it's been really worth it. Like I've got no regrets.
Yeah.
And it killed reading for a few years. I will say that they expected us to read. It was like 120 pages a night. Jeez. So after that, I was kind of done with reading for a few years, but I'm just starting to get back into it, which is nice. Yeah.
That makes sense. Now, why the move from Australia to Nashville? Why and what, I guess, what was that like as well for you?
Yeah, it really did feel like skydiving because we grew up in Melbourne, born and raised, and we both come from Planet Shakers and we just loved that. Like it's been so good to visit over the weekend and it felt like a massive step of faith because we just both love Melbourne so much and we honestly never thought that we would ever move.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started to travel back and forth from Nashville, I was in a church service there, which is now our church there called The Belonging. And I just felt God say, you can actually choose to live in Melbourne and have a blessed life. I will bless it. It's going to be awesome. Or you can jump in the deep end with me here in Nashville and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a command, you must do this. He gave me a choice, but I just felt I needed to step out and trust him again. And the funny story is my wife is a country music fanatic. She loves it, which is the most random thing.
Yeah.
She's full-blood Malaysian, loves country music, and she always wanted to go to Nashville as well. So it made perfect sense to go there. And but in terms of the city itself, it's such a beautiful community of writers. And it's been really fun to just, it's a meeting point. So people all over the world will come to Nashville to write songs. And it's so special when you're in a room full of people, it might be three people and you're all from different backgrounds. You've all got different stories of what God's been speaking to you about, but somehow you just like mesh and write one song that can communicate to all of you and beyond. So I love Nashville for that because it's a great meeting place for creatives and people who are passionate about writing songs for God.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that. But since moving to Nashville then, has your wife gotten to like live out her dream of meeting some of the country singers and stars that are there? I heard sometimes you see them just walking the street and sometimes it's, you know, just a normal community like any other, I guess.
We haven't seen any on the street. We've heard stories. We've heard stories of, people just walking past. Actually, Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban, which is so funny. But she has loved it, and I
Good.
think it was always her number one city. She actually went before I ever did. She visited. She actually does a bunch of work in the anti-human trafficking space,
Okay.
and it's actually a real hub for anti-human trafficking organizations in Nashville. There's a lot of work being done there. So that was another reason why it just made so much sense.
So she can do her thing as well
Yeah,
as you
she
do your
can.
thing. So I actually wrote down here, you have gotten to write songs and collaborate with a lot of people, actually, a lot of different artists, as well
Yeah.
as singing with artists. What is that process like for you? And even I actually think artists usually hate when I ask this, but I always ask it anyway. Who's been
Yeah.
your favorite person thus far to collaborate with?
Oh my goodness. It is a difficult question. Honestly, writing with on some of these heroes of mine has been so special and also humbling because, for example, I've written with Leland and Chris Kilala, and both of those guys were heroes of mine growing up. I would listen to Jesus Culture in my room as a 14-year-old kid and just get wrecked. And Leland was the guy who inspired me to sing. So being able to meet these guys and write with them has been so special. And it's just encouraging to know they're just people too, because I think we build up people so much, but honestly, they're just people who love Jesus. And there's something so beautiful in that. And I will say one of my favorite people to write with, and I've actually gotten the honor to sing with her on my album, is Stephanie Gretzinger.
Oh yeah. Yep, that's a good
And
one.
she's just, obviously beautiful voice, but even more, her heart is just so tender for the Lord. And she cares so deeply, and I feel like I learn a lot from her when I write with her, of just being close with God. So it was a really beautiful story and sad, but her dad passed away in 21, and I wrote a song for her. I woke up in the middle of the night with this chorus in my head. It's called To Be With The Lord, and the lyric is, "To be with the Lord, what a beautiful ending, what a blessed beginning." And it really is true in our lives that we have ch see, sometimes chapters have to end for new ones to begin. And even passing from this earth into heaven is the closing of one chapter and the beginning of a new one. And I didn't know it at the time, but that actually became the missing piece for this whole album, of just being able to take people through a journey of God is with you in grief. He's with you in the burial seasons when it feels like we're letting go of things, but is also with you in the bloom, in the multiply seasons where everything's flourishing and the harvest is there. So it was so special because I sent her this song, and it really ministered to her and her family when they were walking through the grief of that. And then in the end, she ended up singing it with me, which just added so much authority to the song because it was written for her, but she was able to sing from a position of hope,
Healing, yeah.
eternal hope in Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm just so honored that she would sing it. So,
Oh, that's
yeah.
so powerful. I have goosebumps. I love Stephanie's heart for worship, so I also thought it was really special when I saw that you got to do a song with her. You got to collaborate with actually, I think more than once with someone that I know and love as well, and someone that I've listened to and is sort of like a musical hero. I like her worship, her heart of worship as well. And that's Lindy Kofor. So I just wanted to ask you how that was working with her and creating
So
music with
she's
her.
on Bloom, which I'm incredibly honored because ever since I met her, we just clicked straight away. And when you meet people who are just like-hearted and they've got that same faith that you just crave, it's like, it's just
You need to be
Jesus
around
is
them.
everything, and I just want to tell everyone about him. And she inspires me. Her and her husband, they lead a worship movement called Circuit Riders in California. And I just love them so much because every time I'm around them, I feel on fire for Jesus. I just feel so passionate about his kingdom and his word. And they're some of our best friends. We love them so much. So when I wrote Bloom, I didn't write it with her, actually. I just wrote it. I kind of finished it by myself. But then I'm like, oh my gosh, it would be a dream come true if Lindy sang this with me, because she lives and breathes this message, like unlike anyone I've ever met. And Bloom is all about the gospel, just the simple gospel of the good news of Jesus. But it is also a joyful challenge to believers that says the gospel was never supposed to be contained in the four walls of the church. The gospel was always supposed to branch out from there to our communities and to people who need to know Jesus and who are desperate and longing. And so she walks that out every day of her life. She is so evangelistic, and I just felt with the message of the song, it was the perfect person to sing it with. And I'm just so grateful and humbled that she would say yes and sing it. So it's been really special.
I, in 2017, I think I did the 21 day project through the Circuit Riders, and Lindy led worship. And I just was so drawn. I mean, she has such a contagious like energy and joy to her. I was so drawn. So I was part of the media track. She was doing the worship track, and I would find myself like taking our tea times to just go watch her do her thing. Like I wasn't part of it, but I just wanted to watch. And it was just so powerful. So when I came here to Australia, and we weren't playing any of the Circuit Rider music yet, and I was like, no, we need to start getting some of this stuff on there. It's so good.
And we're actually both, I'm not sure how far the Gold Coast is from Townsville. How long is it?
I mean, flight, couple hours, 3 or 4 hour flight, I think.
I forget how north you guys are. It's very, very
north. Yeah, we're very north, yeah.
Yeah, so Lindy and I are actually going to GLOW Conference this year. So we'll both be there.
And
it's the end of September. So if you can come down, it's going to be so much fun.
Don't tell me. I'll make it a work thing. Like I have to be there for radio. You also do the song, The Fields Are Ready with her.
Yes.
Now, is that, I don't actually know in relation to like lyrically, but is that a song, I guess, based on even just the titles? It kind of sounds like it's a song that's meant to be related to Bloom. Was that your thinking, or how did that work?
It was exactly my thinking, because I wanted to have a little flow section that came out of Bloom, I guess, to explain everything I'm talking about in the song. Because Bloom came out of Matthew 9, where Jesus says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out more workers. And that's you and me. So it's a prayer that God would send out people to gather the harvest, which is people who are desperate to know Jesus and who don't know the gospel and who need that hope and love and life in their lives. So The Fields Are Ready kind of explains that. And she sings this bit, the fields are ready, ready, ready. And then it kind of goes to this section where it says, the broken are ready. The orphans are ready. The widows are ready. The hurting are ready, and they're ready to know Jesus. And then it flows into this prayer. And I was so blessed that she said yes to this, because I really wanted to, I guess, capture her contagious faith. You said that she had such a contagious quality.
Yeah.
And I wanted to hear people, I wanted to show people how she prays, because I have heard her pray before and have been so impacted. And so it was just beautiful to capture this prayer that she had of, you know, it's time to go out to people and to not just be clanging cymbals, but to actually be the hands and feet of Jesus. And it's just a beautiful thing. I remember she sent through that prayer and I was weeping. I was so moved by her faith.
Yeah.
That's what The Fields Are Ready is. It's just, it's an extra flow. Out of Bloom.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Actually, both Lindy and Stephanie have prayed they pray in a lot of their songs, but in parts of their songs that I think wreck me every time I listen to it. So anytime I need like a coming to Jesus moment, I'll go back to some of their songs just to hear the prayer part of it. Now, I want to, you, Sorry, my headphones are falling off me.
No, you're fine.
You already talked about Bloom, obviously, and the fields are ready, but I do want to talk about this brand new album. What was it like for you, and what was sort of your heart or messaging behind this album?
Yeah, so I think before this album, I started writing songs for people, and I really felt sure from the Lord that was what I was called to do. And it's such a beautiful way. It's kind of like a word of knowledge, because you get this idea, and then in my head, I'm like, okay, I need to say this for this person. And then when you get together with them, so often it's beautiful when you have that moment of, I've got this idea, and you show them and they're like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I need. I've been trying to say. Yeah. So that's how I was used to writing songs. And then I remember that sleepless night, I was up till 6 a.m. I just had all these song downloads, and I just felt God say, I actually don't want you to give these to anyone. I want you to sing these. I want you to look after these and take care of them. And I had never experienced that before. So to have these 9 songs that all tell this story, and there's one instrumental, so it's 10 tracks. But it was just such a beautiful revelation that I had, that God is with us in those, you know, the grief. He's with us in the dark seasons when it's hard and we don't know what to do. And he's also with us in this amazing, beautiful place of when the fields are ready and it's blooming, the kingdom of God is in bloom within us. And that's not to say that we don't have joy throughout at all, that we have the joy of his presence in the hard seasons of life and in the mountaintops. But I really wanted to actually draw attention to people, to God being with us in those low times. Because I wrote most of these songs during the pandemic, and there was so much grief in that season. And I really wanted to write songs that address that and didn't just sweep it under the carpet and go, you know what, just have joy, everything's perfect. Because the point is, everything isn't perfect, but we have a perfect Savior, and we have a God who will walk us through. And that's why it says, consider it pure joy when you face these trials of many kinds, because when you walk through that, it actually perseveres your faith and it grows you stronger and closer to Jesus. So yeah, so 2 of these songs actually, To Be With The Lord, I wrote that for Stephanie when she lost her dad. Yeah. And there's another song on the album called Still On The Throne. And we wrote that for a friend of a friend who, his wife gave birth to their firstborn, and by the end of the day, the wife had passed away from internal bleeding that had just gone unnoticed. Wow. It was just the most tragic situation. And I was with my mate Taylor, who helped write the song, the night before. And we were having this conversation, and we were just both shaken, you know, and just, what do you say in moments like that? And when this happens, and obviously we don't have all the answers, and we won't have all of them until we get to heaven. But we can know that even when this happens, that Jesus is still on the throne. And I remember that phrase in that conversation in his kitchen just stuck out to me so much. And I really wanted to write a song for this guy who just lost his wife and was left with his baby daughter. Yeah. And so I think there's actually so much of God that we can discover when things are just the worst.
Yeah.
But he's so good in it, and he's so close to us. And the Bible promises us that he's close to the brokenhearted. And I have found that in my life. So I really wanted to just write songs that met people there and also led them to a place of joy.
Yeah. I think it's such a good message for everyone just generally. But even post-pandemic, it looks so different for so many different people. And I think that there are a lot of people that are making their way back up, and you know, the fields are ready to be harvested for them, but a lot of people are still really struggling post-pandemic. And so I think it's a really great message that people need to hear. I actually forgot about this. I meant to ask you this earlier, but you actually get to do one of the songs on there with your wife as well, is that correct?
Yes, so one of the songs is called Multiply, and I get to sing with my wife, and we wrote it together. And it was so funny, but I knew this would happen because it's only natural, a song called Multiply, sung by a married couple. People thought that it was a a pregnancy announcement. And it was not. Oh, it just happened to be about, you know, we were reading that parable of the sower who scatters seed. And the truth is, the word of God in us is supposed to multiply. It's mm-hmm. supposed to produce a crop in our lives, fruit. And so it's all about that. It's about how, you know, everything. And it's also about, you know, when Jesus has the fish and the bread, he feeds the 5,000.
Yeah.
And everything that we put in his hands, he can multiply. So we wanted to write a song that essentially told the story of God's faithfulness, of our choice to say yes to him, to move to the States. Because we saw that yes that we put in his hands, that seed of faith that we put in his hands, he's grown so much from it and has just blown us away. And we know that we wouldn't have seen that fruit if we hadn't have said yes to him. So it was so special to write a testimony song about that, and to sing it with my wife.
Yeah.
It's so special. Yeah.
Now, does she normally help with writing process? Does she write her own music or sing anything, or was this like a one time?
So she wrote songs before I ever did, but she just hasn't been in that it hasn't been a big season of that for her, because she does a lot of work in the anti-human trafficking space.
Yep.
She's super clever and has a politics background. So she's really busy with that, but she definitely is a songwriter as well. So we don't write a lot, but when we do, it's always a really special experience.
That's really cool. Well, I'm really excited for this album. We can't wait to play it here on air. I'll be airing this interview so it's Monday here. So Sunday coming up for Sunday Spotlight. And then I'll send through an email to Cam when I get it up on our website as well. So he can send that to you.
Great. Awesome. Awesome.
Yep. Thanks so much for doing this, and congratulations.
Thank you so much, Abigail. Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye.